You may take your seat tonight. While you're taking your seat, would you turn to Exodus? I want to share something with you that I started last Wednesday. While you're turning to Exodus, I'm going to ask you to look at a couple of announcements there that will help us go on. Women, you're going to be gathering this Saturday, breakfast, good fellowship, good study. Men, the following Saturday. How many of you are ready for your kids to go back to school? Amen. Yes. All right. I don't know why I lifted my hands. All my kids are gone, but I still lifted my hands. Yeah, I'm ready for them. I think I meant my grandkids, right? They're getting back to school. If you want, I want to invest a book into your life, one per family, and then I want you to give it to somebody. It's one of our own. We were teammates in another fellowship. Tim Grisham, he comes here every year. We support him. So he wrote another book. I want to see this into you. If you promise me to not put it on your shelf and leave it there, once you read it, give it to somebody else. That's how things keep going. So I want to do that for you after church. Also, how about if we just get the offering out of the way? Amen? Because I know you want to get rid of it because you're tired of holding on to it. So if I can have, actually, Brother Joe, can you have Lonnie bring me some water and then grab him to do it's a little bit of ushering this evening. Well, we're getting ready for the offering. If you need anything, there are some envelopes in front of you, behind you, next to you. If you need a pen, raise your hand. Somebody will assist you. While all of that is going on, if you can, put up there. Thank you, Brother Joe. If you can, I want you to see this principle on the overhead. I started last Wednesday, okay? I started last Wednesday. I felt strongly to continue on helping us understand principles. Can you say it with me, principles? Again. Now I want you to say it like you've heard it before. Principles. Principles are truths from God. They are a revelation from God where you can take something that God has said to you, embrace it and keep it, and use it to help you grow in Christ, okay? They really help us make good decisions. I'm up to making good decisions. I want to make good decisions. And to make good decisions, I have to put myself in the position to really understand good decisions. So I felt strongly that we can start here, and I'll move into that a little bit more. But the ushers are going to help me tonight. Father God, thank you for every giver tonight. Thank you for them just blessing your work, because this is your work. And we know it takes prayer, it takes stewardship, it takes giving to make sure your work goes forward. And we stay on top of your work, Lord God. And we just give you all the glory and honor today as we give to you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Thank you, ushers, for helping me tonight. This little cute story, this little cute joke, it can be a joke or it can be a story. Take it as you, but I believe if you understand this, you'll understand this principle that God assumes full responsibility for you to meet your needs, not your wants. He's in the business of meeting your needs. And I don't want obedience to obey him scare you away. It's an art. It's a discipline. It's hard work to believe God, to trust God, to hold on to his promises. So a principle can be a promise. Now, a promise can come in twofold. One, it can be conditional, or it can be unconditional. God will reveal that to you. He'll say, son, daughter, that's a conditional promise. That's an unconditional promise. But this little joke or story, this man was stuck in a storm. And he prayed, like we do, we pray. And he prayed, oh God, I don't want to die. Can you help me get out of this storm? And so he's standing and he's believing God's going to rescue me. God's going to provide. He's going to be there for me. He's saying all these wonderful things. And here comes a guy in a little boat. He says, come on, jump in. The storm's going to get worse. Nah, he says, go on. God's going to save me. God's going to deliver me. God's going to take care of me. Sure enough, here comes a bigger boat. And he says, come on, the storm's going to get worse. You got to jump in. Oh, no, no, God's gonna take care of me. He's going to provide. He said he's going to rescue me. He's going to deliver me. And the storm gets worse. And here comes this big old ship. He said, man, you come on. We threw the rope down and get it because it's the flood's coming. No, 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 no. God's going to take care of me. He's going to provide. He's going to meet all of my needs. Well, he dies. He drowns. Gets to the pearly gates. And first thing he asks God, he says, God, you promised that you were going to save me and take care of me. And God said, well, I tried. I send you a little boat. I send you another boat. And I send you another. And you didn't jump in. This principle is understanding the wisdom and the insight how God provides. Can I say it like this tonight? He's ready to provide for you. Amen. And he's already provided some amazing things. So the provision that we're talking about is back to twofold. The physical part, right? And then you got the spiritual part. So the physical part is all the basic needs. You know, if you live in a home where there's gas, light, water, electricity, and food, you are the top 7 richest people in the world. If you have $5 in your pocket, you're still top 8 richest people in the world. Do we take things for granted? We shouldn't. But I would love for us to understand this big picture, that God really wants to meet our needs. And if we understand, because sometimes I think I saw it today, is that we go all out to take care of our wants, but then we beg to take care of our needs. And so our needs is what God said he will provide. He'll give you the desires of your heart. So your desire is to understand how God provides in your life. Amen? Let's pray. God, thank you again tonight for worship, all the givers. I thank you for this study tonight to help us really start off this year on the right foot by obedience is better. And I do pray that we understand why you want us to trust you. And as we begin to trust you, then I know that we are doing it correctly in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen. We all know Philippians 4:19. Somebody look it up in a second. I'm going to ask somebody to read it in a moment. But I want us to look at the big picture. Almighty God, the one that created the heavens and the earth, who created us. We were created for relationship. It is His desire that all of our needs are met, the physical part and the spiritual part. I think the scripture says it like this, that you and I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. When the Israelites were asked to conquer the promised land, they say, because I just history is different, that they only conquered 1/4 of the promised land. So if we apply that for today, that means that a lot of us have not even touched the counsel, how much God wants to bless you in every area of your life. Now, I know you know this, but I'll repeat, because in a moment we're going to go to Exodus, and I want to show you a piece that's important that at least we are aware of, and that piece that I think is crucial right now, and I really emphasized last week. And again, I want to take 2 or 3 Bible studies to make sure we understand, yes, God is so ready to meet my needs, but what's involved? And again, I say it all the time. It's not a bad word to say, I want to be obedient to God. I think it's a great thing. I want to make sure that I can hear these words on earth. Now, people get excited because they want to hear these words when they die. I want to hear them now. And these are the words that I want to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? I want to hear that today. I don't want to, because, you know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Sometimes we're, you know, we want to be heavenly here on earth and we don't really make impact. But remember John 10:10, okay? Always remember John 10:10. And remember Philippians 4:19, because you're going to read it here in a second. But John 10:10 says it very clearly. There's a thief. Wants to make sure you lack. That you get stripped from what's already been provided for you. He comes to only kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus says, I come that you may have life more. And I like to add this, not that I'm going to be taking my name off the book of life. You're not supposed to add anything in the Bible. I'm not talking about adding, but I want to paraphrase it. More than enough. More than enough. Amen? More than enough. I think it's good that in every area we understand how much God wants to bless us. So keep John 10:10 fresh as we understand this principle, and as, again, keep Philippians 4:19 fresh in your soul, because, again, my God, Philippians 4:19, shall supply all of your needs according to his riches or his principles or his way. We don't want to be like that. Oh, you know, we want to raise our hands in church and say, glory to God, God's going to meet my needs. And he's already sent that need a couple of times. And we miss God. Now, I'm going to say something here that I'm just hoping that you'll understand this. And I'm just going to pick on Bobby today. That's it. Okay? I'm going to pick on that Bobby here in a second. But I'm going to pick on this Bobby. All your phones off, guys. Please, in the name of Jesus. Where was I before I got interrupted? What's that? Oh, I'm going to pick on Bobby. There you go. I want you guys to get this, okay? I miss God more than I get God. Is that because I'm slow? No, because training your mind, your heart, to rely on the Spirit and the Word takes work. Faith without works is dead. So we don't want to be like that guy. I said, oh, God, I'm waiting. I said, well, he's already blessed you. He's already met that need. Thank him for that need. So Philippians 4:19, John 10:10, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So I kind of left off by asking this question, and then we're going to go to Exodus right here so that we can kind of be online to understand this principle that's important. And here's the question that I left off. Is, do you really, really believe God is able and he is eager to meet all of your needs? Is he ready? And I just want to say to us, he's ready. Are we ready? And so when we're ready, he's ready. You know, I'm ready. You know, but we always have to wait on somebody, right? No names mentioned. So God is committed. Where we understand this is important. Not my will, but thy will be done. So our will has to be aligned with his will. He wants to make sure you're committed to trust in him. We can't just say from our mouth, I'm committed, but then you're going to run here and there and here because you are a pretty normal human being. We want to see results right away. We don't have patience. We want to know what is it to be in control. I met a person today, and all of the difficulties and the hard times he's going in, and the only thing that keeps coming is what he's struggling with is that he's no longer in control. That's what he's struggling. And I see that with human beings and Christians. I am not in control and not feeling good about it because I want to be in control. It's normal to feel that way. But there's going to be a time where you're going to have to let go and let God. Is that the right job? Is that the right relationship? Is this how I spend my money? Is this what I have to do? Is this what I'm looking for? And I always tell people, I've been saying this since 1984, 85, when I started my journey as a minister of the gospel and as a counselor, you're not going to see any results unless you put roots down. Because the Bible says when there is roots, good soil, which I think that's who you are, is good soil. You are wonderfully made. You have been wonderfully called. You are unique. There's only one of you. And I always say it, amen, amen to that, right? And so the scripture comes forward and says, they're going to know us by our fruits. Evidence that we are committed. This is why he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That should be first in our lives. And again, I just want people to get this. If you didn't get a chance to hear the message on Sunday, go and hear it, because I give an illustration how to make sure you are lining up your will with God's will. Okay, that's kind of where I left off. And now I want to move into an area that is kind of challenging, okay? It's okay to be challenged in January, because I think if we can get it now, when it comes down to it, we will see great results. Okay, so I'm not going to read all of the part of Exodus. I'm just going to read a few verses, but I'm going to want you to follow me. First place I want to read is in Exodus 16. If you've been with us on Wednesday nights, I just finished Exodus 14 and 15. But I want you to see this for yourself. I'm going to read verse 4 And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people will go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may... I even hate to say it. But I need to say it. Why do you need to say it, Pat? Because it's in the Bible. I'm going to do all of that. I want to meet your needs, and I'm going to bless you. And the reason why is because I'm going to test you. Y'all look over here for a moment. I said this 1,000 times, and I think I'll say it 1,000 times. I said this with people in recovery. The reason why recovery is hard for people, because they don't know how to handle success. They can't handle success. There has to be drama in their lives to handle this kind of success. And they freak out. Now, if you apply it to the Christian faith, what happens is, man, there's got to be some trial or tribulation. There's got to be something, there has to be some drama, some chaos for me to, and we can't even enjoy just the blessings because he loves you. Why are you getting that for me, Papa? Because I love you. Can't I get you something because I love you? Can't God just bless you because he loves you? Oh, you don't love me. You want something. there's got to be an underlying reason for all of this. No, he just loves you. Amen? So when I read that, we kind of bypass all what the Lord said to Moses and the Israelites to test them whether they will walk in my principle or not. So there's stretching of faith that happens. There's exercise of faith. You know what? If a door closes, listen, he's going to open up another one. Let me give you a quick testimony, just a minute, a testimony. When God wants you, which he does, he wants you to follow him, to love him, to be used by him. That's his motive. That's what he cares about. He wants the best. And he'll make sure that that will happen in your life unless you literally quench the spirit and you say, no, I don't want that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do the opposite. You have a free will, so he's not going to force you to do it. But you're going to see the hand of God. I did everything backwards when I started this journey. What do you mean backwards? Well, you're supposed to get a job, or you're supposed to go to college, you're supposed to get a job, and then find a girlfriend and get married. Something like that. Something in order. Well, I did it backwards. I got married without a job. Got a job, went to college, got a degree, everything backwards. And so Bobby's all excited because, you know, he's got the opportunity to go make buku money. For those who don't understand buku money, that means that's a lot of money. Just in case, sometimes I use some slang and you're like, what did he just say? So this job opened up and I'm like, I fit the criteria perfect. Interview, got top two and all excited. Nope. I got disappointed. They said no to Bobby Aragon? You don't say no to Bobby. Well, they said no to Bobby. But listen, I did not know the sovereign providence of God in my life. I had no idea. Later I did, because I looked back and said, God, you did that. Amen. You did that. This other big job. I mean, it was a state job. I mean, retired 25 years. I was 20 years old, by 40, 45, retired, and you know, whatever. hold their kite. I went to training school for it. I was top two again. They said no. You don't say no to Bobby Eric. That's twice. You know what God had in mind for me? Which I had no idea because it was not on my list. I had a list of one through ten. And I wanted to go to college, be a college coach. I wanted to be a coach. I did that, but I didn't do it for buku money. I did it volunteer. But listen. But the right doors opened, and I looked back. I said, God, you had your hand upon me all of this time. You're going to be a minister of the gospel. And I said, what? It's not on my list. Can I say it again? It was not on my list. That was in 1986 when everything was settled. Got out of the military, graduated from college. I think my first child was born in 1983. And Reve, what year were you born? 85. So we had those two already. You wonder, why does that girl know when she was born in 85? Because she had a daughter the same. What, they're a week apart? Week apart, yeah. That's how she knows. Let's keep reading. I want to read 1 verse 12. Then I heard the complaints. Wow. Christians don't complain. We don't complain. We don't complain under our voice. We don't complain to other people. And I'm telling you, when we complain in any form or fashion, it opens the door to what John 10:10 talked about. What was the first part of John 10:10? The enemy comes to... Where does it all start? Okay, I said it in church. It says right there, when we begin to complain, I heard the complaints of the Jewish people, the Israel, the church, speaking to them, saying, at twilight they shall eat meat, and in the morning they shall be filled with bread, and shall know that I am the Lord your God. Are you with me? Let's go to the next chapter. I just want to read one verse, because I want to leave you with something to practice today. I'm just going to read one verse. That was from Egypt. Now, this is in the wilderness now. Verse 5. And the Lord said to Moses, go before the people and take with you some of the elders and take the hand of the rod, which you can struck the river and go. And from there, they had plenty of food. Okay? So, sometimes... Let me just say this nicely and correctly. Sometimes God will just let you go and realize that is not what he wants for you. He'll just let you just go and just say, all right, querías. I don't know if he ducks Spanish, but I know he was Arabic and Hebrew and Jew. But, you know, if you want, go. Just like our children, right? I'll never come back to Pueblo. Guess where they all live? Are you with me? Amen? Okay, so sometimes, again, I know it's happened in my life. It's happened to the ministry that God has given me. Let me say this, okay? This is deep. But this may help you, because sometimes the enemy will say something like this: you can't start over, you messed up, you're a mess, you'll always be a mess. I told you, there's more people disappointed with you. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. But I want to tell you, I had to redo this ministry 3 times, foundation, and accept the responsibility that I goofed up. But God's grace and mercy allowed me to rebuild the foundation that has been strong for over 20 years for the glory of God. So are we going to make mistakes in this? We're going to make a lot of mistakes. But once we understand that God, that He wants the responsibility, but there's a part that is missing, and that is how powerful obedience is. Okay, let's go back to chapter 15 real quick, and I'll move on. I just need you to see the big picture. I didn't want to overwhelm you with reading. Chapter 15, it's a beautiful song to the Lord, but there's just verse 3. The Lord is the man of war. The Lord is a man of war. Somebody say war. Somebody say warfare. See, this is where warfare comes in. So what is John 10:10, first part says? The thief comes to warfare. Am I going to stand on the promises of God, or am I going to relent, or am I going to quit? And then one more verse, verse 7 says, in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth the wrath and you consumed them like stubble. And it goes on and on and on. It's amazing. I'm smiling because we forget there's going to be a lot of people that do not support you, do not believe in you, that they're just waiting for you to fall apart so that they can say something like this, I told you so. Let me give you another minute testimony, just 1 minute. It's how New Beginnings was birthed. A long story, I'm going to do it in 1 minute. And so the gentleman who owned the building, he, for whatever reason, couldn't sell it. So I came in, we came in, handful of us. This is in 1995, somewhere around, 94. We came, and a handful of us, and he tells me 5 years later, he didn't tell me right away, he said he got 4 phone calls from leaders and pastors of the city of Pueblo. Back then they had that ring, 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 kind of on the phone. They just ring, 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 ring. Remember? You guys are looking at me, we don't even know what that is. Ring, 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 ring. And these are exact words, Brother Dean, what he said. And I'm going to close with this. He says, don't trust him. No reason to. This was my, the first church was amazing. Second place was amazing. This was a new ministry that God wanted us to birth, new birth, to birth this work. He tells me 5 years later, he says, you know, I don't know what it is about pastors in the city or whatever, whatever, but man, they can be ruthless. Huh? I said, well, some of them are territorial, you know. They're territorial. You know why I say that? Because none of you belong to me. Y'all belong to Jesus. I am just grateful that I get to be part of your life. That really, you belong. I didn't die for you. Jesus did. My goal is to go where you're going. The rate I'm going, I'm going to have to hold on to your coattail, man. I'm going to hold on. And nobody wanted to lend us. No church wanted to help us, not even with a dollar. Nobody wanted to support. So it was like, and it was awesome when God said these words to me. I didn't ask you to ask them for help. I'm going to provide for you. And you know, to this day, every month and every 3 months, I said, God, you're the only one that can provide. You want to hear something funny? It's a true story, okay? I only asked one request from God. You're going to laugh at this. One request from God. I said, God, I'll do this work, but in one condition. I really said this to God. One condition. I never want to make tamales to keep the lights on. God, I do not want to make tamales to keep the lights on. In other words, I don't want to do fundraisers to keep this ministry going. If you're going to provide, you're going to provide. Amen and amen. And as of today, we haven't had to make tamales to keep the lights on. Amen. Because that's how God, when God asks you to do something for him, he's going to provide. Did you hear that? God asks you to commit to this area, that area, he's going to provide. Amen? All right. Let me leave you with this as my brother comes back up for closing of worship. This is what I'd like for you to get. It's really another question. Questions are powerful. They give us data. They give us information. They give us direction. They give us guidance. You got to ask the question, God, tell me what I need to do to make sure that I'm lined up with your will. And he'll talk to you because he loves you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to minister to you. He wants to hear from you, and you want to hear from him. Meanwhile, you have all the other voices that want to jump in. That's where you learn to submit to God, where you learn to say no. That's you. I've heard you plenty of time. You're not part of my life anymore. I only want to hear the voice of God. In what ways are you aligned with God focusing your life on him? The scripture says, don't be unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Is this your will, God? He'll tell you, yes, no, wait, there's a better way. But you got to believe and you got to trust. When those doors close and there's a door open, we walk through it. The Lord provides regularly tests to see if you'll obey him, just like he did the Israelites. Even when you don't fully understand the reason of his commandments, your obedience will always bring blessings when you submit to him and assume full responsibilities for your needs. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. My brother, worship God with this song. I want you to pray. I want you to hear the voice of God. I want you to really say, God, I want to do your will. Especially now in 2024, I want to do your will.
No matter how dark is the night, no matter how hard is the fight, when you can't see any light, his grace is sufficient. I know it's sufficient. I know his grace is sufficient. No matter how dark is the night, no matter how hard is the fight, when you can't see any light, his grace is sufficient. I know is sufficient. I know His grace is sufficient. No matter how dark is the night, no matter how hard is the fight, when you can't see any light, His grace is sufficient. I know it's sufficient.
Let's just lift our hands for a moment.
I know His grace is sufficient.
Your grace is sufficient, Lord.
No matter how dark is the night, no matter how hard is the fight, when you can't see any light, His grace is sufficient. I know it's sufficient. I know His grace is sufficient. No matter how dark is the night, no matter how hard is the fight, when you can't see any light, His grace is sufficient. I know it's sufficient. I know His grace is sufficient. No matter how dark is the night, no matter how hard is the fight, when you can't see any light, His grace is sufficient. I know it's sufficient. I know His grace is sufficient. No matter how dark is the night, no matter how hard is the fight, when you can't see any light, His grace is sufficient. I know it's sufficient. I know it's sufficient. I know it's sufficient. I know His grace is sufficient.
Amen and
how
amen.
How dark is the night.
Hallelujah.
How hard is the fight.
As they're flowing behind us tonight, would you put your right hand over your heart? I want to pray a prayer over you. You deserve the best from God. It's not a cliche. It's not a some the best from God. Make sure your heart is open. Grace is sufficient. Plant those beautiful roots. Be strong in the Lord. If you need to fast, fast. If you need to pray more. But obedience is better. Just obey God. Watch Him continue to bless you. Bless the women's meeting Saturday, Lord God. Bless Sunday service, Lord, as we start our first Sunday of the year together in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless one another. See you soon.